Christine, listen to me. You want to start the show or what?
Yes, I do.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 15. Christine, did you hear me? 15. Yes.
That's a lot.
It's 15 weeks. You know what I'm saying? 15 weeks of pure filmmaking goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Get Real This Is a Podcast. I am Adam Chase Rennie.
And I am Christine Chen.
Ooh.
And we are doing our podcast.
Yeah, dude. So we do have a guest, but he's popped out for a quick bit, right?
Okay. Is on. Yes. He is getting a special something for yours truly.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we're waiting for that, who do we have the pleasure of getting on this show, Christine?
His name is Caleb.
Okay.
I met him on the set that I am currently working at. He is our VFX SFX makeup artist, and he is absolutely incredible. He was on, oh my god, he's running here. Wait, I'll show you. Look at that.
What happened? What is that?
What is this? Alright, what are we making today?
We're making screwdrivers.
Y'all making screwdrivers? Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, shit. All right. Well, while Caleb and Christine are about to turn up in this motherfucker, let's begin.
Caleb, do you have Facebook?
Yeah.
Are we on Facebook?
Yeah, we're live, homeboy.
What's your last name?
Yeah,
Sally
W.I.S. Shit. Okay. Okay. Well, while Christine's doing that, thank you guys for joining us. There's a few people joined us so far. It's gonna take a minute, but we're getting there.
This is all kind of thrown together because Adam was like, "Oh my god, all my guests all ditched me on Friday," and I was like, "Oh, don't worry, I will make somebody be here."
Oh, we have so many talented people on set. Like,
yeah,
just pick them out.
Pick them out. Bring them out.
Okay. Go for it, Christine.
This is taking me. I'm just going to say live recording, and then I'll tag you because this is so good to do that.
All right, well, while Christine's talking shit about me,
I never talk shit about you. So, yes.
We have a guest. You want to introduce our guest and, you know, still have dead air?
Yes. It goes in live recording. There we go. Okay, I'm posting. Okay, so we have this incredible VFX special effects beauty makeup extraordinaire.
Hi.
Artist Caleb.
Oh, you're making me blush.
Cause Caleb is so talented, man. Dude, it's been so cool being on this film camp that we're in.
Yeah, it's a summer camp.
We have made two features so far. Two features. Back to
two features.
We have officially wrapped on two features.
And can you talk about them or not?
Yes. So They Whisper, which is a horror-based type film. Stranger Things-ish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
Think what? Oh, Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the second one we just wrapped is Viridian, which is like a thriller.
Yes.
Psycho thriller.
Super cool. Loved it. Writing's incredible. I feel like the build-up of characters is just like... mind blowing.
Yes.
So I really loved it.
Yeah, it was super fun. The stunts, well, he had to do so much work on it. And that's where I like was like, holy shit, like your work is amazing. He had to do gunshots, he had to do an arrow through a boot, he had to do someone's face.
Hell yeah.
We had fire stunts, we had what are some other weird shot stunts we did?
He got a stake through his neck.
Yeah, he had a stake through his neck.
Like the effects in this one was pretty cool. Like,
yeah, it was really cool.
I just hope, not hope, but like reading well on camera. You
know, it does. It does. So, I was watching the screen being like, wow.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's this like giant wooden stake in John Schneider's neck.
Yeah. For anybody who's watching and don't know,
that's that, awesome.
We're in Holden, Louisiana at John Schneider Studios. John Schneider, he was Beauregard in Dukes of Hazzard. He was the dad in Smallville. He's a musician now. Like he's a pretty cool cat. Yes.
So nice guy.
Yeah.
And cool.
Let's go.
We're in like film camp / like Funland. It's like it feels like in a little bit of like a film amusement park.
Yeah.
Because like there's different places that you can go and like it's immediately a different set. It's a studio lot, but yeah. In the middle of nowhere.
No, it's crazy and it's awesome. Like I feel like we're a movie summer camp.
Didn't you say it was like over 150 acres, Christine?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's massive. And it's cool because he has like different cars from like different movies that he's worked on that they like blew up and crashed, and they just have that display. They have an awesome pool, which is, you know,
which is with the meetup.
Which
so
is what most of us go and do on our days off.
Yes,
when we get them.
Yes, that's where we all like sort of how we survive this film set. Yes. Is that we'll like hit each other while we're filming, and then like we all go to the pool and we're fine.
Yeah. 100%.
Because it's just like 120 degrees every single day in Louisiana.
So hot. And we're the next film that we're about to be on. I brought the t-shirt.
Uh-oh. Merchandise. Hell yeah.
Half-Lives.
This one is going to be so cool. They started building the set, a couple of days ago. Like.
They've been building it since for a while, but like it just...
It started to come into like fruition.
Yes, fruition. Because it's made out of shipping containers.
Yeah.
The whole set is an apocalyptic type of vibe.
Yes.
And they're stuck in this bunker that is made out of shipping containers.
So, yeah.
Like, this whole set is completely built from scratch.
Right.
Which is cool.
That's fucking rad.
I personally haven't really had that kind of experience with most of my stuff. Because being by nature low budget, you use existing locations and stuff like that.
Right.
So this is literally created from scratch.
And more than I would but Tom Schneider, they said in all their years of making film that this art department is one of the best that they've ever worked with. That they are just so impressed with the quality and the just everything that goes into it.
Yeah,
and absolutely.
The like, details, every the details, little tiny detail.
Everything. Like you, I don't know. Like walking into the set that we had yesterday was just insane.
Crazy.
It was insane.
Yeah. If only internet would leak over there.
I'd love to show you guys.
Yeah, it's.
But
unreal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even close. They're not. So our day off, they're not off right now. They're actually busy building the set.
Yeah. Art department's building the set.
Yeah, art department's building the set right now. So
that's rad.
It's badass.
And that's going to be y'all's third feature.
Third feature in
a month.
Yeah.
In a month.
Yeah.
In a month. You guys are ballers. Damn.
Yeah, third feature called Half-Lives. It will be shot in 10 days.
Yes.
It is a kind of a thriller to apocalyptic type of thing. So we're going to be stuck in these containers with minimal... I hope we lose a lot of weight.
I know, we just sweat everything.
We're going to just sweat all our cat off.
There's no such thing as like a hangover because like we just sweat everything it off. Out and then we just feel great. So we're doing it. Like,
so yes, so that's where we are, and Caleb brought some cool stuff.
That I brought something.
Yeah.
Yes. So okay, before we get into that, how did you even end up in films?
It's funny. So going outside of high school, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I got accepted to a college, and I was going to school to be an art teacher. I was really into drawing and like illustration. So. I thought teaching kids would be like a good kind of way to stay in the arts and like inspire other people. That's what I'm about. I love like inspiring people with just having them be like, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I went to school and I had a professor who was just like, you know, you're terrible at art.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah. He was just like, you know, you should probably stop doing art forever because you're that bad.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, cool, great. Perfect. Love that for me. So I did.
What a great confidence booster too.
No, of course. Like, that's thank you, terrible. Professor. I appreciate that.
Aww.
So I quit doing art. I stopped drawing. I stopped doing everything. And I moved down south to Mobile, which is where I was born.
Yeah. Sorry. This thing just decided to crap out because our... there you go. Cool.
We're used to...
our internet thing. Awesome. Yes. There you go.
You guys are fine. Like, it's coming out clear. So okay, cool. You're good.
Yeah, our
hi, TJ.
Not the best. Okay, and then your teacher sucked and told you never to do art.
I never do art. Stop doing art. I moved down south to Mobile, Alabama, which is where I was born with some family because I grew up in a very I grew up in kind of a small town in Pennsylvania, so I wanted to get out and do a better thing.
Yeah.
So while I was there, I was trying to look for jobs, and I came across this job on Craigslist that kind of was like,
yes, yeah,
and it was a traveling dinosaur show. So I hit them up and they called me and they were just like, can you come to the convention center in like 20 minutes?
Okay.
I was in love with everybody there. Yeah. And they were going to a town which was like 30 minutes from Mobile called Biloxi in Mississippi.
Okay.
And I just... They asked me to like come book there as well because it wasn't very far. So I booked there, and then they offered me to travel. So we have life-sized dinosaurs. Essentially, okay. they were like the insects, and then we would set up scenes to make them look like they were in the jungle, and we had like facts about them that we would teach the kids about dinosaurs.
Okay.
And I don't know about any of you, but I'm obsessed with dinosaurs.
That's crazy.
Right. Actually, somebody who just joined my
life. I'm for dinosaurs. Dinosaurs.
She loved it, so yeah. It was such an experience.
Dinosaur.
Iowa, so I'm talking about you. Yeah.
And you were like, what did you do with the dinosaurs?
So I set them up in scenes, and then I started out like working in. We had like gem and mine, like we had a mining like the gems and jewels and stuff, and also. So I like started out with that. And I started out. We had like inflatables and stuff. And then we had face painting.
So I was like, there's the connection. Okay.
I think I could do that. So I had a friend, her name is Noelle. She'll probably end up joining at some point. Somebody said static or something very hard to hear.
Is it you?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a static. If you can just turn up the volume.
Okay. Is that better? Sorry, Terry.
Well, there's just a there's an echo, but now not anymore.
Okay, cool.
So whatever you just did works.
I think our connection fucked up something, and then okay, Terry, is it better? Okay, well, tell me if it's better. I hope.
Can you both hear me?
I can hear you great.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Cool. Perfect.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So you did face paint.
Yes. So I started face painting. I had a friend, so probably join the live, and she can, you know, say things.
Yeah.
But she essentially taught me how to face paint. And makeup is all about the manipulation of light and shadow to achieve, like, a desired effect.
Okay.
She just taught me about, like, depth and light and how to, like, make things stand out and how to push things back. Essentially,
okay.
And I was super into it. So I don't know about any of you guys, but I had a Tumblr at the time, and Tumblr was great.
Yeah,
and it was very inspiring. And I came across some special effects makeup, and the artist, her name is Stevie, and she was on Face Off as well, which I found out later.
Okay.
So incredible. So I started like recreating some of her looks.
Yeah,
and posting them. And I had a friend who had a friend who went to the school that I went to, which is Douglas Education Center. It's in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I went to the Tom Savini Special Makeup Effects Program.
Okay.
Which Tom Savini is one of the So they call him a godfather.
Legend. Makeup artist.
Legend. Like, he came up with, he worked on Friday the 13th. He's done so many things. But
he taught Rick Baker, I think, too.
Yes. Which,
ooh, how did you know all this?
Oh, you know, Christine, you know I love movies and you know I got that knowledge. You just underestimate me every single time. And it's okay. You're still my friend and I still love you.
Yeah, so real quick, how long has the podcast been going on?
A year?
A year?
Right?
A year and a half, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Because we've had the fun employment part of it, which I explained, which it was all stemmed from a feature that we were did that I was ashamed of, but that you, Adam, inspired me to release and tell people about it. Mm. And yeah, we've been. It's on Amazon.
Okay, cool.
Okay, you have to watch it. Okay. I'll watch it and then like drink while you're doing it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I talked about this a long time ago in the Fun Employment podcast, but I'm a huge movie guy. I love movies. I grow up watching movies. I've been an indoor kid for years and years and years, and watching Fun Employment was something truly inspiring. And I don't say that because it is true, because it took so much effort to make a movie. And being on film sets and working with Christine, and for those of you who don't really understand the gravity of the scale of working on a film set, it's tough. You're going fast, you're going at 100 miles an hour, and sometimes you're not doing shit for hours, but then out of fucking nowhere you have to move like at 100 miles an hour. But Christine is always the person to be there and have this clear vision that I never worked with a director that had such an articulate way of describing exactly what they need in a fashion that is supposed to be executed by every single department. And they do it all in a timely fashion. And that's wild. Wild.
Because I gotta say, these three films have made me grow significantly as an AD. The reason is every other film set that I've AD'd for, I have 90 to 100% perfect days. Like, I count perfect days as days that were going smoothly for me, that I did the best I could to facilitate the schedule.
Yeah.
This set, my ratio is probably 50 to 50.
But she's doing a great job. Like, we can't do it without you. You know, like, for a lot of people who don't know, an AD is like assistant director. So you coordinate to all of us. Like, we know what's happening on set because of her. So it's a very, that we all need and that we have and that you supply.
Yeah.
And we just.
But I feel like I'm obviously trying to do the best. But like, really knows their shit. I've never worked with a director who's AD and script supervised and seconded. So he knows his stuff so much that it's putting me on my toes and upping my game to be one step ahead of somebody who's already steps ahead. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not.
And you like a challenge.
I'm so appreciative. I'm so appreciative that I get to work with people of this caliber to make me be at my best game.
Of course.
So, yes, I it gives me a lot of frustration because I am very hard on myself and I'm a perfectionist. So I'm like, shit, my track record is not 90 to 100 right now. I'm like 50-50 in my. But then it's making me like safety, being really good about that, gun safety, all these things, and then like he's jumping around and keeping track of like which one he's, you know, what's he's trying to film right now, and then like getting everybody else behind it. So it's been a great learning experience, and absolutely. I thank Isaiah, the producers, for allowing us to be here. I thank David for finally trusting me to AD, and to know that I'm doing the best that I can. And Carly.
And you are the best, Christine. You are the best,
Christine. I'm trying. I'm trying really, really my damn hardest to be the best that I can for the crew and cast.
Well, listen, these movies are awesome. Yeah, everybody's on top of their shit. It's fantastic.
Unreal. They're unreal.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But it all stems from the first AD. Can't you agree, Caleb?
Exactly. 100%. She's who you are. What keeps us like going and like in line. Like communication is key. You know, you let us know everything that like we need to do, any time frames, any shots that need moves, like actors, like you have such a big job. You know, like in the is running it. Yes, the director is like, you know, whatever, but it's you who talks to all of us. He doesn't talk to us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's you, and you're doing a fantastic job. These movies have been going, so I love you so much.
Fucking A.
I do. And it's
okay, I'm hugging you too, Christine. I'm hugging you too, Christine.
So much because I half the time I just like
no, you know,
I want to do the best I can, and sometimes it's just like
you're all doing your best, and it is great. You know, everything has been running smoothly. These movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let me tell you something, Christine. Christine, I showed my mom, Albi, and she cried. She cried. I cried with her too. It was a magical moment.
Yeah, that's one of my. I'm so proud of that.
And but I do understand. I do hear you though. Like I do understand that you're. You know when you
put down a bunch of people who are on their
team. Yeah,
you know, I understand. But so are you, and I don't want you to think that you're not, because you know this. None of this would be happening if.
But at the end of the day, Christine, you still made the art that you want to make. You know what I mean? Like, it's still your product, and it's still the thing that you... I mean, you all made it all together, but it's a collective effort, you know?
A collective effort, that's for sure. And it's a bunch of incredibly, incredibly talented and very pretty people. I just feel very grateful to work with all of them. And I just hope they don't think that I am a hot mess.
Okay, listen. We are hot messes, but not in the sense of, like, you don't know what you're doing. Because, bitch, you do. You know? And we're so grateful to have you. And we all love you. So yeah.
And also, Christine, you raised a mess, too. How fucking dare you?
You are a mess.
See? And you agree.
Aw. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. Well, you should show some of the shit that you do. So you brought, what did you have?
Yeah, so essentially a lot of work that I do.
Okay, we left off at FaceApp.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I graduated from the Douglas Education Center doing the Thompson. A week after graduation, I flew to LA to be on a TV show.
Caleb, my man, you broke up right before you talked about Tom Savini's school. So what'd you say right before that?
So I was on a show called Face Off. Graduated from school. And a week after graduation.
Yep,
you're right.
It's your phone. Okay.
Can you still hear okay, Adam?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
It's your phone. Yeah, it's your phone. I don't want to say that.
Yikes,
like static. Yeah, I know. I don't know why. Is your phone doing that?
Probably just turn the volume down and it should be good. Now I can't hear that echo at all. Oh, okay, it feels good.
So,
better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so you graduated from school, and then a week you flew out to LA and joined Face Off, which is what?
crazy, right? So,
how old were you again?
I was 22 at the time.
22, you were on Face Off?
Yeah. Crazy experience. I'd never.
Dude, I was an assistant store manager selling shoes, man. That's fucking dope.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was such a crazy experience. And, you know, I learned a lot at school, which gave me the tools to be able to go on the show.
Yeah.
But being able to work with so many talented individuals who have worked in the industry and, like, learn from them, I feel like I learned in the month and a half that I, like, worked with those individuals. I learned as much as I did in school with a 16-month program, you know? And it was such a crazy, amazing, beautiful experience. And it really helped boost my career. So it got me jobs, you know, it gave me exposure. Mm-hmm. And I was able to just kind of roll through everything. So I've worked in everything from, like, theater to movies to music videos, which I love.
Yes.
To features, there was a virtual reality kind of movie set that I worked on, which was crazy. What? Like, how weird is that? The cameras we worked with, obviously. A virtual reality camera is like a 360 LED, and it's the weirdest thing. It looks like an alien kind of spaceship, whatever. But, like, it was so cool. So being on the show has really just, like, upped everything for me.
Yeah.
And
do you have a favorite kind of makeup that you like?
I do. So this little thing. This is my tool. Mm-hmm. It's called this is an airbrush essentially. Yes. A lot of people think it might look like a crack pipe. I guarantee you it's not.
I mean, I was gonna say nothing, but yeah.
This is my airbrush. It's an Iwata. There's a Pache. And Iwata, there are like a few different companies, but those are the two main ones. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for Iwatas. They're sleek, they're beautiful, they work so well.
What makes a good airbrush? I don't know anything about airbrushes.
Okay, so a good airbrush, this is a gravity feed. So I put my paint into here, and then this little control, I control how, usually it's connected to a air compressor. So it blows air out, which essentially makes the paint.
Okay.
So this is a dual action, meaning I control how much paint comes out by pushing down and then up and back the needle. So if I want like a larger spray, I pull all the way back. If I want like teeny tiny like veins or lines, I just like keep it super steady.
Yeah.
So there are single actions where you just like you adjust the air intake.
Yeah.
Yeah, play with it. It's fun. It's sturdy. Like, she's been through some shit. But yeah, so back to like makeups I like to do. I like doing realistic things, like the things that we're doing on set now.
Yeah.
But I also like doing kind of airbrushed face makeup. Like I love monsters, I like creepy things, I like just things of that sort.
Okay. So you like fantastical things.
Yeah, okay. Like kind of extraordinary sort of things like that. So okay.
Like Guillermo del Toro, like creature shit.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Perfect. Yes, 100%. I love making monsters, essentially. I love making...
You guys should follow his Instagram. What is it? CPT Breach.
CPT
Breach. You can see so many photos of his work, and it's, like, unreal stuff. That's amazing. I can't believe that you can deal with all this.
That and paint. So, like, earlier I said that makeup is all about the manipulation of light and shadow to achieve a desired effect.
Yeah.
So, one thing I'd love to do is, with my airbrush, do a makeup and have people ask me if I have a prosthetic on, which a prosthetic is something that completely renders the human form.
Yeah.
So, if I'm trying to do, like a goblin or, like, a creepy clown, for example, or, like, a skeleton, usually you put a prosthetic on and it changes
to enhance it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But with this little
shadowing.
Yes. So I love to achieve it. Basically it's an illusion. So I bring out the highlights and I deepen everything and it's all about layers. Makeup is all about layers.
Yeah.
So you just layer it to the point.
It's thundering.
Um, Yeah, so I just I would say that's my favorite kind of makeup. Okay. I love tricky.
Okay, you like illusion, you like tricking the eye.
Right,
that's cool.
So I would love to have yes.
Go so ahead. Question: yeah. How did you get into prosthetics?
So we that was like a main thing that we learned at school.
Okay,
and that was something that Face Off is very based off of. It's prosthetic makeup. It's a prosthetic makeup reality competition.
Do you practice a lot then? Like
I do.
Okay.
Prosthetics though are very expensive, which is why I got into using my airbrush so much.
Yeah.
Because prosthetics can run a good prosthetic can run anywhere from, you know, $50 to $70.
So, whoa, really?
Yeah. They get pretty great.
Why is it so expensive?
Oh, why is it so expensive?
It's called foam latex, yeah. Essentially. Mm. So the whole process of like sculpting something, and then, so here, if I was going to do a prosthetic on you, okay. I would have to do a life cast of your face,
okay.
Meaning a stone copy of your face that okay. I can sculpt on with clay.
Okay.
So I'll sculpt the monster or like whatever it is I would like.
Yeah.
And then you have to mold that to make a negative.
Okay.
And then using your face, we fill that with foam latex, okay. Push your face in so it matches your face
yeah,
perfectly.
Your face, yeah.
And then we have to like, it's just a whole process.
Yeah.
So that I feel like that's why it's expensive. Also, foam latex is just expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no like cheaper way.
There is. You can do a life cast, and then you can build with cotton latex, using cotton balls, using tissues. Like, that's what they did back in the day because.
Yeah.
Right. Like makeup filmmaking is still like a very new thing. Like we're always learning, we're always growing.
Yeah.
And the things we do in makeup now, compared to like what it was back in the day, is just.
Day and night, yeah.
It's night and day, 100%. Actually, so anybody who wants to know, I have a few prosthetics here that I was going to use on set.
Ooh, so what do we got? Show us.
This, yes. So I bought these prosthetics. I do know how to make them, but because of the time frame, it's easier to buy them. So these are from Out of Kit. These are silicone-based prosthetics.
Oh, wow.
All over the place.
Terrible. I also had a screwdriver, so courtesy. So I'm like,
Christine's riggedy riggedy wrecked.
Yeah.
Riggedy riggedy wrecked.
Okay.
All right. So these prosthetics, I love these. Out of Kit is a very new company, and it's silicone based, which you have foam latex or you have silicone, which it just depends on what kind of film you're on. Silicone is more expensive because it's harder to work with and you have to encapsulate it. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah. But people use it because it keeps the shape better or?
It's more realistic. So silicone is more translucent than foam latex. Okay. Foam latex is, it's essentially a yellowish kind of color. So if I was going to do one on you, you have you're very tan.
Yeah.
So you have yellow and red undertone. So I would have to match that.
Yeah.
To match the prosthetic to match your skin, which is harder. This, it's easier to tint. So we had darker skin actors in this the previous movie that we worked on.
Yeah.
So I got these darker prosthetics. So it's easier to kind of blend into the skin, and it looks more natural.
So that's here. Let's explain what each of them are. Are these like bullet holes? What are these?
Yes. So these are punch. Well, that's a bullet hole. This is a cut. And these are puncture wounds. So
different type of injuries.
Yeah, different type of injuries, exactly. So essentially, different companies, they'll have, especially Out of Kit, they have a lot of different options. So, you know, blinding the eyes out, or different burns, or acid burns, or infected mosquito bites. Like, they have everything, anything that you could think of. I know it's, like, kind of grotesque. And like kind of weird to talk about.
No, my really good friend Roxy is. You guys would like hit it off so much. You
know, and yeah. Roxy, best friend of the podcast.
Yeah. So Roxy does this basically.
Yeah.
And so she's always like, I'm surprised the FBI hasn't put me on their like hit list because
I Google
some weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just Googling, like, oh, a face blasted off, or right. like, I need a rotted out, you know, flesh or something right. like that.
I type in, like, dead bodies, like, all the time. And I'm like, well, hopefully I don't get flagged. But it's a reference, you know? Like,
dead bodies. that's gross.
It is gross.
I asked this question before to Roxy when she was on the show, but I want to ask you, Caleb, what's the major differences between music videos to features now that you're more into features?
So recently, music videos have expanded very creatively. So
I was going to say, music videos are expensive looking now. Like, they look crazy.
Yeah, yes. There's cool music videos.
Super into music, and I'm super into, like, the vibe of the artists, you know, that I work with.
What kind of music do you like?
I listen to everything. Yeah. I listen from, like, screaming punk music to country to
good answer, Caleb.
You know, I think that, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very good thing to just be expansive like that. Like, if you just
concentrate
on one type of music.
It's got to fit your vibe, and your vibe changes. It's not always the same.
Right. Yeah. There's so much music out there. It's like watching movies, you know? Yes. Like, people are like, I strictly watch horror. Well, why? Because there are fantastic thrillers, or there are, like, rom-coms. So, you know, movie making is movie making.
Yes, so, it expands a wide range of genres.
Right. So, I guess to answer your question, I love working on music videos because creatively, it gets weird, and I love getting weird. So
yeah,
what's the weirdest thing you've worked on?
I did a music video with Steve Aoki a couple years ago, and
oh shit,
it was cool. They basically brought, like, mannequins to life, so we had to, like, dress our dancers to look like the mannequins.
Oh!
So it was, like, super cool to, like, watch them, like, come to life, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just super. It was super weird, so,
and it probably looks amazing on camera too.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. It was like the transition of it all, and then to see them dancing and everything, it was really cool. Like, to see the beginning.
See
to
that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We're crazy.
Yeah. Send it away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, you now that you're working on features, Caleb, you're working on, like, longer, expanded schedules. You're part of the. I mean, I'm curious if it's the same way with music videos, because I assume music videos and like features, they have pre-production, and you would go through, Christine, fuck, I'm literally, like, my ADD brain, I'm literally trying to focus, you always fucking interject with your annex. I love you so much, Christine, but I need you to stop.
Adam, where are you?
I'm in a bunker somewhere. I live in South Austin.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I live in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty quaint little area just outside the city. So I'm just away from the ruckus and the, you know, the tomfoolery ass shit going on in the city. You know what I mean? But I was gonna say, and I forgot now because I was. I went sideways on you, Christine. I'm sorry. Just I'm like. Stop. I do remember what I want to. So pre-production in music video and features, you're part of the process. So you're talking with the directors, I assume, and understanding what their vision is, so you can have a clear understanding what you go through. Is the pre-production any different from music video to features, would you think?
I'm gonna say not really. Between the director and I, we have to have a clear vision, period, from a feature to a music video. So they could be thinking something, and I have to tell them, well, that is realistic or it's not. You know, like, that is doable or it's not. So that's essentially the process I have to go through on features as well. So no, I don't think it's too different, but just the creativity of each can be a little, that's different. So,
and it also depends on the director, you know, how much leeway they can give you, because there's some directors who have like a strict vision on how it's supposed to go and stuff, I'd assume.
Yeah.
But then there's other directors who are very blasé and they just kind of give you the reins to do what you want, you know, which I assume those directors are dope.
Love them. Because if a director has a very specific vision that is kind of unachievable for the budgets, for the time frame, for everything, like, no.
And right.
You're like, well, why not? And I'm like, well, because you're not giving me time or money. So, you know, we have to work with what we got. And I can get very dangerously close to what you need, but it's just kind of one of those things, you know, like we'll work with each other. Like, so I'll get close to what you want, if not there, but you just have to give me time and money.
I mean, you're realistic. Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to give you anything that I can't do.
Yeah.
So
what is your dream ultimate goal? Like, what do you have like a vision of like what your ideal is?
Like world domination, curing cancer, stuff like that.
No, exactly. World domination. I've been a successful secret serial killer like Dexter for a while now. So
nice.
That's where I get all my reference from. JK. I don't know. You'll never know. Or maybe you will. No. So my goal
is. This is how he kills us. He chooses his victims by going on their podcast.
yes, exactly.
Listen, yeah, and if I need to get a new mentor, listen, Christine, it's been a great run. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You're pretty great, so I'll save you this.
No, you can kill me. That's fine. I'm not the talent. She is. She needs to be kept alive, you know?
I like this dynamic. Like, you're pretty, like, in.
Like, oh no, I'm just a small child, like just a nuisance to Christine.
I think as artists we have to be small children inside.
Oh no, absolutely.
There's
that vision of creativity that children have. That
yeah, creativity is about unbridled feeling.
Right?
Unbridled imagination. And
Roxy and I talked about it, and our sense of humor hasn't aged past 15.
Adults, I think the difference between adults and children is we've seen shit. Yep. And because of that, those have formed mental and emotional blocks.
Yep.
And those are things that are limiting factors for creativity. And as artists, what we are allowed to do is move beyond those blocks or cherish having those moments and utilizing what comes.
Oh, beautiful, Christine. Well put.
I think that's why artists are special, because we're able to, instead of avoiding how we're feeling and the pain and whatever,
we can let it out.
We let it out and we embrace it and turn it into something beautiful.
Yeah. Like, nothing is taboo for us. Like,
no.
We talk about the weirdest shit on set, okay? but that's great. That's like what we need to do, is to like express ourselves. And that's something that I think anybody who doesn't think that art is important, I'm just like, well, look around you. Everything that you see, everything that you're drawn to is because of art. You know, you watch these movies and these TV shows that you just watch.
And if you think about it, with the quarantine and everything, and shit can be wrong with the world. If you go anywhere, I swear, what are people talking about? They're talking about art. They're talking about the latest show they watched. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the movie they went to. They're talking about something they saw, some beautiful art piece, some photography, some cool Instagram photo, they're talking about art.
Yeah.
That's the way we are human.
Hey, I have a question for you, Christine, actually, about this type of situation that we're facing right now in terms of how we take in content. Have you heard of this new, well, I guess it's not a new app. It's called Quibi, and it's just basically like 10-minute. Yeah. So, why Because I'm a millennial, and I have no problem sitting through a 2.5-3 hour movie. Like, I can sit through Lord of the Rings like a motherfucker. But I've seen people, and I've shown movies to people who are like, oh, they get antsy after like 15 minutes, and they got to walk around and do shit and, you know, kill themselves. I don't know. You know, they got to do their own shit. So my question for you is, do you think features and shows inevitably will just shorten in length as we continue on in our endeavor of making movies, which is going to be never ending?
You know,
or is long form still good? Because Avengers is 2.5 hours.
There's going to be a percentage of things that will go short because that's just what people are wanting or whatever. But that ultimately comes down to content. And if something is good, people will watch it.
100%.
So no matter how long it is, they will watch it. Right. And so there's, yes, maybe the majority of things will get shorter. But if it's good, people are going to watch it. Therefore, there's always going to be something that is longer, per se.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I do believe that, but it just, yeah. it's a crazy time that we live in now because I watched an entire season of a show on my phone in literally 2 hours. And I didn't know how I feel about that. Yeah. I truly didn't know how I felt about it because it felt like I'm a TikTok kid. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I'm a 16-year-old getting on TikTok trying to be relevant. And I felt sad. Like, I felt like pathetic. I'm like, I got to delete this shit. Like, I moved on. But I know it's not just me. And I know it's, you know, Quibi is just only the tip of the iceberg at this point. Yeah. But who knows?
That's also the thing. Like, our attention spans as humans are very, like, quick nowadays. We want information. True. And we want it now. And TikTok, I think, is a good kind of platform for like good content. So making a
not just 15-year-old kids booty bumping.
Right, right. No, 100%. So like, I do TikTok sometimes, but I'll do it with my makeup, like with my airbrush. So people
see that's dope. I would subscribe to that. Yeah.
Thank you. That's essentially what I want to achieve. So back to your question of like what I want to do is I've always wanted to inspire and like make people realize like if I can do this,
you can do this too.
Right. Yeah. So like TikTok is good because people can like chime in essentially and then like see shit like quickly and then follow your other platforms and then get into it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they'll like get to know you. So
you need to follow your TikTok.
Don't follow me to talk about
it. I don't do TikTok.
Some of them is kind of a thirst trap. I also do my booty bumping video.
Yeah, I'm following your TikTok. That just makes me want to
do one together.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that too. Like I'm all for social media and things, content just kind of ever evolving and expanding, you know? Because now YouTube is like, I watch stand-up specials on YouTube now. So I just feel like, you know, the digital age is just sort of like, it's going to be ever evolving and features, because look at movie theaters now. Ain't none of us are going to a movie theater tomorrow.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, true.
A lot of people like, so people don't understand. I used to work at a movie theater. I've worked at a movie theater.
I did too. Yeah.
And I loved it. It was one of my favorite jobs because I love watching movies and I was able to watch them for free. So it really like expanded my
knowledge. You can bring friends. Yeah.
But what people don't realize is all of the ticket sales, they don't go to the movie theater. The movie theater makes their money off of concessions. That's why it's so expensive. And people don't want to spend $30 on popcorn and two sodas. You know what I mean? So, nope. I mean, even ticket prices are like getting up there. Like, why go out and do this when you can make popcorn like, by yourself and then watch it in the comfort of your house? Which I don't know. I don't know about you. I like getting dressed up. I like going out. I like date nights. Like, I'll spend whatever. Maybe that's just because I'm in the industry and, like, I don't know. But
I don't know. Because my mom is a huge movie goer. And my mom and I, like, movies are kind of, like, treated like the opera, you know? And I feel like in the next 5-10 years, like, y'all are getting wasted.
He dumped the whole...
Yeah, that's Tito's. Oh my god.
It's a that's, big
problem. I mean, yeah, but good god, my dudes, you're gonna get a massive headache.
I'm really hoping all my big guys and stuff is that. So
oh shit, just go get it.
No. Carolina.
Okay.
Sorry, okay.
It's raining.
Oh wow. Is it really?
Yeah, it's raining. You see that? Hard.
Lower the phone. I can't see it. I couldn't see it.
Oh yeah.
I just all I saw was your. You did this. That's all you did. You're like, can you see it? Can you see it? It's right there. Can you see it?
Yeah. Sorry, I forget what we're on, like, multiple channels. So.
No, I remember what we were talking about. We were talking about movies and theaters and stuff and how in the next 5-10 years, movie theaters are just going to turn into operas now. Yeah. People are just, it's going to be an experience to go to a movie theater. It's not really...
Somebody says it's all about the ambiance of the movies. It's absolutely...
Yes, 100, and that's what I'm talking about. That's like, because the movie industry is, I mean, it was already going down like in the... like 2000s when ticket prices went from like 7 to 10 to 12, then 14, 15. Now it's like before the pandemic,
like ticket prices are $20.
Right.
It's like people don't want to pay that, but like it's an experience. It's a whole like surrounding kind of experience. So
I would see Avengers as an experience, you know,
I have a movie theater idea that I'm going to implement whenever I have a cap. I don't want to share it because somebody's
going to
steal it.
Oh, okay. Well, good talk, Christine. So.
Oh, there's a doggy here. Hi!
A doggo?
Let me see if you can see. Wait. Marcy, come here. Marcy. This is such a random podcast. Oh, all the dogs.
I mean, it's not. I can keep us on track, Christine. You don't need to worry about me, okay? I'm good. I'm fucking wigging, bro.
It's raining.
It's fucking raining. It's morning. Have you seen that YouTube video? All right. So movie theaters, you guys, they're going to go extinct in 10 years. Are you excited?
No.
I don't think they're going to be extinct. I think they will be there as long as the experience is there.
Well, I mean, now we're getting to the point where, like, they're building beds and, like, we're finding chairs and stuff. So people, like...
Have you been to a Alamo Breakfast?
Yeah.
Cool. I love Alamo Breakfast.
Here's the thing. Alamo is losing out on money on the table because drive-in movie theaters, I went with one with my mom and we saw Get Out and Us, double feature, like Jordan Peele double feature. And it was the best fucking time of my life. Like it was so fun. Like, and it was just in our cars and we were able to order shit. Didn't have to touch nobody. I didn't have to talk to nobody. It was good. Yeah. It was great.
Somebody says it's an art, an escape, an experience. Yeah. Leave your worries at the door. Be transported to another world for 1 to 2.5 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's like a very encompassing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you just focus on this massive screen and you're just surrounded. You're just surrounded by that.
Yeah.
And like the experience and the movie.
The sound of this podcast is going to be great. We have a train now as well in addition to rain.
I mean, you guys have been echoing with your speakers the entire episode. So like, I pointed out to you, but then you.
I've been putting it on me on my end and Diaz too. So it's all good.
It's all good.
And Francois keeps wanting to call you.
Francois. I'm doing a podcast with Christine.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah. No, it's man, I'm so thankful for what we do.
Oh no, same.
I love making movies.
I love making movies too, and I love watching movies, and it's never ever gonna die.
And
I'm
so grateful to be able to do this and to meet people like Caleb.
Exactly. Like, I honestly, I was in kind of a lull before I came.
Yeah.
And then meeting all of these creatives and like seeing everybody working and like being their best selves and us literally creating movie magic.
Yes.
That other people are going to view and see is just like an incredible thing.
Yes.
Hey, Christine, remember how much of a deer in fucking headlights I was in Writer's Block?
Yeah, I remember.
Best fucking time of my life, though. But you had the shittiest time of your life. But I loved it, though, because you essentially threw me in with a whole bunch of creative people. And I, I have you to thank for that. So
I'm thankful for its extremely talented people like Caleb who make me push myself to be a better version of myself at what I do. And to watch that kind of talent.
It's like you guys are exchanging vows.
We are. Man, you should see the stuff that Caleb does. It's like unreal.
I'm excited. Hey, I know at some point we're all going to work together, you know?
Hire both of us. We come as a package.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to work together at some point. There's so many dope people around Louisiana and Texas. It's impossible to not work with dope filmmakers, you know?
Yes.
Yo boy included.
Hey, can you hear me?
So what do you think, Christine? You want to take this plane?
I think we leave it off at we're incredibly lucky to be working during the quarantine.
Yeah. No, 100%.
We are practicing social distancing also, even though it doesn't look like it. We both have had our COVID tests, so we're going over there.
Yeah. COVID tests are
yes.
Well, that's the thing.
They came back positive and it's all good. It's I'm kidding. LOL.
No, but like it's we're being very safe. I feel like it's how the movie industry is going to have to be moving forward completely.
Yeah.
Which is crazy and weird, but the whole world is like this.
Yes.
Now. Yes. So
So make a movie with your friends.
Yeah.
Be in film camp like we are right now.
Yes.
Get tested. Be creative. Get tested for COVID. Be safe about it. And keep creating because that's how we're going to get through this.
Yeah.
So.
Fucking I keep creating.
Keep creating. Always keep creating.
Yeah. Because.
There's no excuse not to, really. Like, you can make a movie with your TV, your laptop.
Yeah.
You can make a movie with your. I made a movie on my day off.
I feel like movies are like legacies. Like when we're gone, people are still going to enjoy what we do for years and years and years and years to come. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. Like movies that are just like Mean Girls.
Yeah, I love Mean Girls.
For example. I was strictly talking about it.
It's a cinematic masterpiece, Caleb. You're right.
Thank you.
It is. I love Mean Girls. We wear pink on Wednesdays, motherfuckers.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, to create something that people enjoy and will watch and just like are into.
Yeah.
Long after we're gone.
Yeah. It'll be there.
It'll be there. And that's a legacy.
Always.
A beautiful thing. Yeah. So.
No pandemic is going to keep us down.
Yeah. No pandemic is going to keep us down.
Fight the vid. Yes, fight the vid.
No pandemic is going to keep us from doing what we love.
COVID's going to catch these hands, okay?
Yeah.
keep being safe during the pandemic. Yes. Wear a mask. You know, we're in a special situation. We're in a bubble right now.
Yeah.
When you set the phone to background noise, it's crazy. I know. I'm so sorry. We're like There's your
mask. Yeah, we all look like this on set at all times.
At all times, so. Yeah. Just right now.
I look like a bunch of bandits.
Yeah, we look like a bunch of bandits. Yeah, we're in a barn on John Schneider studio, and it's raining outside, and there's dogs walking around.
Like, it's an experience.
It's an experience.
For sure.
And we're making movies. We've made two features so far, and we're starting our third one on Friday. So, yeah.
Okay, tomorrow.
I know. Tomorrow. Sexy cowboy right here. Somebody said it's a one sexy beat-up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Look at that. You know what they say? Save a horse.
Ride a cowboy.
And we'll leave it at that. Save a horse, ride a cowboy, ladies and gentlemen. It's been Get Realism's podcast.
Yes. GetRealism.com. Go buy a book.
Go buy a book. Guys, listen to me. Okay? Every time I get on this show, if none of you guys buy this amazing book, what are you doing with your lives? Okay?
$35. Yeah, I'm getting one.
Yeah.
Get a digital version.
I'm getting a few.
Hang on, Christine, there's a digital version, right?
There is also a digital version.
Yeah, and how much is that?
No. Digital copy is dope, but you need the physical copy.
Oh, the physical is great.
Yeah.
But for those of you who can't handle the greatness of a hardcover book, you know, get the PDF, get the poster. You guys, getrealisms.com. Get it. Don't be squared. Stay prepared. And
don't be square. Stay prepared. Love to stand.
Yeah. Don't be squared. Yeah. Be prepared and let everyone be heard.
Movies,
doesn't work.
Make movies.
Even if you just follow us because, you know, you love us and like whatever, and you don't really know the movie industry, this book is incredible for that. Like, really, I read through it and I couldn't put it down. Like, it's so
Christine, you're getting messages for teachers wanting these books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
The fucking American educational system wants your shit, Christine. Okay? Did you hear me?
Yes.
No, so cool.
Podcast about Caleb.
This is a collaborative effort.
Thank you, Caleb, for joining the podcast. We appreciate you.
Anytime you guys would have me, I will be.
Yeah. And, hey, listen, the podcast is nothing without Christine.
Nothing without special guests. Yeah. And Adam.
Well, yeah, you never include me in anything, so I'm kidding.
You are your face. I love you. So.
But that's been Get Realisms, you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Facebook, we love you. Stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Fucking stay away from people. Watch movies.
Yeah, fun.
I had so much fun. This was great. Like, can you have me again?
Yes.
Yeah, we will. Goodbye, Facebook. We love ya. Bye bye.
Good night. Good day.
Good night.